morning, world travelers and diners. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, good morning. What are we doing today?
Well, we have a mix-up here. We have a little more Virginia, and we have a new Pittsburgh restaurant with an old friend chef. We have a good product for getting your guts in order.
Yeah, and which Miss Ann's taking every day.
I'm so trying, yeah. And we're exploring how to clean effectively but non-toxically.
There we go. So that's quite a lineup. That's quite a lineup for the day. But first up, two very different restaurants.
I love this first one. Let's listen to him.
Both in Central Virginia, one in the town of Sperrysville, which is way out in Rappahannock County, where they try to keep the vandals at bay by saying you can't subdivide your property below 25 acres. And Chef Tom Nash is having a great time cooking there, and you'll hear all about that. And then another, not completely opposite, but a very different restaurant experience at a truly French bistro-style restaurant called Pomme in the little town of Gordonsville. So we'll put those back-to-back for you, and I'm sure you'll find them very interesting.
Well, On the Menu has had a most satisfying lunch in Sperrysville, and I said that right? we're talking to Chef Tom Nash at the Thornton River Grill. And he's a delight, and so is this place, which we knew was a winner because the parking lot was jammed. It passed our parking lot test when we arrived. Hello, Tom.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. We were really impressed with lunch because you had some of the most wonderful comfort food things that we leaned towards on the menu. What did we have?
Well, today you started out with a seared tuna salad. It was ahi-grade tuna, sushi-grade tuna over mixed greens with grape tomatoes and goat cheese, and the goat cheese is local. And you also had a Reuben, which I know is one of your favorites. The Reuben, all the corned beef in the Reuben is braised here in the house. We do everything here, and it's actually pulled. It's not a typical sliced corned beef Reuben. And we also had a shrimp salad for you today, which I think you really enjoyed. That was on a homemade baguette and wonderful shrimp from Slavin and Son Seafood.
And listeners, that came with slaw and fries and beer and wine. And so we've had a really wonderful lunch. Now the dinner menu, before I get to the dinner menu, Tom, I want to mention that the way this place is laid out with the open kitchen, as you pointed out, every table is a chef's table.
Yes, ma'am. We really focus on the intimacy between the kitchen and the customer here. We only seat 45 people, and the kitchen is right there. You can actually sit up at the bar while you eat and be within 2 feet from me cooking your food. And all the other tables are right behind that. So we don't charge extra for the chef's table. They all are.
Okay, we're moving on to the dinner menu, which, as I read it, is really just excellent ingredients with not a lot of futzing around.
Yeah, one of our philosophies here at Thornton River is to do simple food done very well. We use fresh ingredients, local ingredients wherever possible, and we try to do it in a no-frills kind of way. It is fine dining, but we really try to lack the pretense and stuffiness that goes with a lot of fine dining.
Now, this is one of three conjoined buildings. Do you want to explain that?
Sure. We actually have three businesses here that are married together very well. We have the Thornton River Grill on one side. We have a corner store in the middle, which used to be more of a commissary country type of store, but now we've expanded into. We have a wonderful fresh butcher over there. We do fresh seafood, gourmet cheeses, and that kind of thing. And on the other side, we have Rudy's Pizza, which is carry-out New York-style pizza, and everything is made fresh in-house. And one of the beauties of that is we have these wonderful stone-deck ovens over there to cook the pizza in, and all of our bread here for the grill is homemade as well. That's where a fresh baguette came from.
Now, I was trying to get a handle. A lot of the people in here were locals. I wasn't sure what went on in Sperrysville, but you said that it's actually a big tourist area, but your clientele is stalwart locals all year round. What do tourists come here to see?
We get a lot of tourists from up in the D.C., Baltimore, and Northern Virginia area, as well as Richmond. A lot of people actually own some property out here in Rappahannock as their summer homes, but a lot, in general, a lot of people from the city come out here, especially in the fall, to view the leaves. We have Skyline Drive that's only a couple miles away, and it's, quite frankly, it's one of the best hiking areas on the East Coast. There's some wonderful things to see out here. We also have a lot of local wineries. A lot of people come out to do winery tours and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, now, you reminded me, I did not mention we are in Rappahannock. I didn't think I'd get that out, but we are. And I just think it's curious. It doesn't have anything to do with food, wine, although may with travel. You were being victimized by suburban sprawl from D.C., but there is now, there are measures in place to prevent that or to curtail that. What are they?
Yeah, here in Rappahannock County, and these are measures that have been in place for quite a long time. In Rappahannock County, you cannot subdivide less than 25 acres. So basically, if you come out here and buy a piece of property, unless it's grandfathered, you can only buy 25 acres. And if you own 25 acres or more, you can't subdivide it and build smaller homes on that property. So it's their way of kind of keeping at bay the D.C. and Northern Virginia sprawl.
But you haven't yet put up a fence at the border to keep motorists out.
We're still working on that.
This is a corner of God's Earth where it would be a good idea to stop. It's the corner of Sperrysville Pike. And what's the road going by?
We're right on the road of Sperryville Pike Road, which is right on 522, and it's the corner of 522 and 211.
There we go. So 211 is the road I was thinking of, which heads sort of vaguely towards D.C. from the direction we were coming from. And don't be surprised if you see on the menu back here again. You'll certainly see a lot of old friends. I suspect that you have some patrons who come several times a week.
Absolutely. We have quite a few customers that come in 2, 3, 4 times a week. And even tourists that come out here on the weekends, they'll generally come in. Sometimes they'll come in on Friday. They'll be back for Saturday lunch or Sunday brunch as well.
And the only thing to remember is that it's Thornton River Grill, and it's got the old-fashioned E on the end. So it's ThorntonRiverGrillE.com is the website, and that'll give you all the other information you need. I'm going to pass the microphone back to Ann.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you to Chef Tom Nash, and we had a wonderful time, and it's a fun place. I understand why you like living here and why you like working here. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, folks, so much. It was a pleasure to have you.
We are now in Gordonsville with Chef Gerard Gasparini. Hello, Chef.
Hello.
Now, you are French, even though your name is Italian, but you say there are many Frenchmen with Italian.
Maybe, I don't know, you know, the family, but my name, I'm French. I'm born French.
Where were you born?
I born about 3 miles from Paris on the route to Champagne region. I born near Meaux. We make brie, you know, the cheese brie. That's where I come from.
Were you an apprentice at an early age?
I was an apprentice. I was 14 in a very, very good restaurant about 25 miles where I'm born. And I have a contract for apprenticeship for 3 years.
And how is it called, this restaurant?
It's called L'Auberge de Condé. It was owned by Mr. Alexis Tingo. And it was all the time, he was my teacher for the rest of my life.
Now, why did you decide to leave that idyllic life in France and come to the United States?
You know, I decided because I was young. You know, after my apprenticeship, I went to Paris. I worked to the Plaza Athénée in Paris. I worked to the Palace in Lucerne in Switzerland. And I have a very good friend. You know, we decided to go to Canada just to show, to see something else. And when I arrived to Canada, Montreal, I found a job in the Exposition 1967, Canadian Pavilion.
Now, I said I was there, but you said you didn't see me.
Maybe I see you, but I don't remember. I saw a lot of people, you know. I tell you, it was very busy exposition. Very, I saw the Queen of England, I saw Charles de Gaulle, I saw the President of America, and I saw a lot of people, you know. And after that, one French company who owned a French restaurant in New York, came to Montreal. He was looking for cook. But this time I was cook. I was not chef. You know, I was 24-year-old. We applied for the job, and we get the American paper, 2 months. And from Montreal, we have a job in Palm Beach, Florida. It was a this company from New York. He used to own Rainbow Room and Gallagher's and L'Etoile, and we stay a couple of years with these people, and after I move back to some restaurant, country club, and my last job, it was in the Baltus Hall Golf Club in Springfield, New Jersey.
You really moved around. Now, how did you end up in Virginia?
Okay, now the story, I was in Baltus Hall, and I started to get, you know, older, and I want to retire, and to go to around 6 months in France and 6 months in Florida. And my friend from Greenwich, Connecticut, I know him for 30 years, told me, you know, we'll go open a restaurant in Gordonsville. I know one of the people, Mrs. Gopton, she owned all this building over here, and we go rent a building from her, and we go open a French restaurant. I said, no way, I don't go to Gordonsville. And I bring my wife one day, you know, 5 years ago, I bring my wife, and she loved it. I said, it's like in France, you know. I said, where we decide to try, and take my son, because my son is, he was working with me in a club too. And my son loved wine. And that's all I know. We came with my son, my wife, and we opened his restaurant.
Now, what year was that?
It was 2005.
Oh, so that's not too long ago. No, but I must say that you have recreated a totally French, country French environment in this wonderful restaurant.
Yes, you know, I'm basic is from classic French cooking. You know, you learn your basic, after you do what you want. The chef, you do what you want, you know, a little bit, you take a little bit from here, a little bit from here. But if you are a good, you know, good chef and a good cook, you do what you want after you cook him. And some people like my cooking, some people don't like, but a lot of people like my cooking, and I come in.
The restaurant is called Pomme, not Le Pomme, but just Pomme.
Pomme, you mean apple, you know, you was looking for name, and I don't know why, Pomme come like that. And they say, okay, you go call Pomme. And that's what we do.
Now, you've won all these awards. What is this sitting on the table, the big silver toque?
Okay. In 1999, you know, we call Le Silver, and all chef, master chef from America, you know, vote for me to get this year, this award. And I get in, it was in Atlanta, you know, this, and they give me that, and that's it.
Well, listeners, if you want to escape without even using your passport to a wonderful country restaurant in France, eating such classic, you have onion soup, all the classic French dishes, and in a relaxed atmosphere, and talking to somebody who is as experienced as this chef, come to Pomme. And thank you so much for talking.
What do you want me to say?
Anything else you'd like to say? How about your, how they find you? Is it a website?
Okay, you find me. You know, since we opened this restaurant, we have a lot of articles on the newspaper. We don't even know, but people call me and say, you know, you see, and I say, I'm very happy for that, you know, but I don't try to put the restaurant up, you know, but that's what it comes. It's a, you know, it's a life. And for me, it's I don't know. Like, I can tell you that, you know. It's coming like that, and I'm very happy for that, you know. And a lot of people say we are very popular, you are very popular. I'm still, a young guy, you know, to want to try to help to do the good cooking for my friend and my customer to come here and to enjoy a nice evening or a nice lunch. And that's it, you know, that's all I am. You know, I'm very low-key, you know, I don't know. That's all it is.
Well, it's a beautiful setting, and the atmosphere is very welcoming and warm and French. And thank you again.
You're welcome. You know, everything, the terrace, you know, I'm crazy about flower. My son is crazy about wine, me, I'm crazy about flower. I do the terrace myself, you know, everything. And it's a part of the cooking, because, you know, cooking is not a job for me. You have to enjoy to cook. For me, when you come in the morning to work, it's not a work. That's all I know. I never retire in my life. That's all it is.
you also not only get great food here, but you'll get a good hug from this man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now it's time to take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Please email us on the menu at onthemenuradio.com.
That always assumes that, of course, you have anything you want to tell us.
Right. Or if you want to tell the world or exchange ideas, go to onthemenu.blogspot.
Onthemenuradio.blogspot.com.
Thank you.
There we go.
I tried it and I couldn't work it, so I hope it works.
Well, yeah, we hope that you have something good coming up. Anyway, we have something good coming up next because an old friend of On the Menu Radio resurfaced a few months ago in Pittsburgh at a new restaurant called Chopino, and we caught up with executive chef Greg Allison and talked to him about this new venture.
Greg Allison, I hesitate to even guess. How many years have I known you?
Let's see now, at least 14 years, yeah. 96, 97.
I mean, all I know is your kids are all grown up practically. Now they're teenagers.
Yep, now they're teenagers.
Well, always, though, you're in a different guise tackling a new big project, and here you are at one of the hottest restaurants in Pittsburgh, Chopino, which is one of my favorite dishes, in the historic Armstrong Cork Factory in the Strip District in Pittsburgh. How long did you prepare for this opening? It's quite a restaurant.
I started in April, and then we opened up end of August. So what's that, three, four, 5 months? A lot of people don't realize how much goes into a project, you know. There's all of the design work, finding a staff, purveyors, glassware, chinaware.
Well, you're not exactly a novice at this, however.
No, I've done a couple restaurants here in the city, so, you know, it makes it a little easier, sure.
Yeah. Now, the owners, it's a relatively new group in a way. I mean, they've expanded recently. Who are they?
They formed a new restaurant group called PA Restaurant Group, which stands for PIPA, stands for Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Basically, everybody, what's PIPA? What's PIPA?
Oh, PIPA,
Pittsburgh,
that's it. I didn't know.
Pennsylvania, you know. And they formed a company, and the owners, the Lamatrices, David's the president and Joe's the vice president, along with their father, who had started a couple restaurants, which was the one that's been open the most, 20 years now, is the famous Clark Bar and Grill.
Yeah, know it well.
Over on the north side. Then they had Cafe Amante and a couple of Damon's, and they formed this restaurant group to do Chopino and their foray into this venue, or with, you know, being this type of restaurant. And so we teamed up, and then I sat down and met with the gentleman. I really like what, you know, they were talking about and what they were looking to do.
Is this going to be a prototype? Because it looks like it might be.
I hope so. That's what we have in mind. So we'll see what happens, you know. First, we got to get, you know, everything, you know, worked out and streamlined here. And, you know, hopefully if it's successful, we can, you know, maybe do another one or two.
Now, anybody who wants to get your overview and see, you know, what you look like can go on the website, which is Chopino, Cioppino, Pittsburgh.com.
Yeah, ChopinoPittsburgh.com. Then you can check out it has pretty much everything on there. Heck, there's even a video of me making Chopino.
So
if you want to learn how to make Chopino, you can do that online. It lists our menus. We also have Il Mercato, which is our deli
and small market.
That's our lunch venue. We're open for lunch in there. Great sandwiches. Great crusty breads.
I love that. That's
good
really
product
great.
That we're using over. We make a couple different things coming out of the Chopino kitchen for there, like the Italian beef and the rustic pork. They're both two really good selling sandwiches.
Talk about this decor, which is elegant but not stuffy.
Sure. We want it to be as the same with the cuisine, it's Tuscan inspired. So we wanted a comfortable neighborhood feel to where, you know, and like I tell everybody with the cuisine, I want the cuisine to be approachable. So I call it approachable to where, you know, you can come in. If you look at the menu, it's, you know, it's not overpriced, or I want people to be able to eat here, you know, once a week if they like, you know. twice a week, three times a week.
Because you will then hit on the other thing is it's Tuscan-inspired American cuisine, seafood, and also small plates.
Yeah, and seafood and a chop house. We want to, you know, there are a lot of times now places are either doing a steakhouse or they're more seafood. You know, in the old days there used to be, you know, where there was a seafood chop house. So I wanted to kind of have the mix of the menu, half of it being seafood, half of it being steaks or chops. We throw in a couple of pasta dishes because everybody loves pasta. Heck, I could eat pasta almost every day of the week, you know. Then also in the bar, I have a small plate menu, 8 items. You know, the stuff's meant, it could be, you know, you could come in there and eat 3 small plates and that'd be your meal. Or say 2 people are in the bar and they want to share a couple appetizers before they go into the dining room to have their entrees. You could, like, you know, start the evening over in the lounge with small plates or just make an evening of it. You could run the gamut. I mean, it's kind of like set up that way.
You've always loved seafood and you've always loved Italian food. So this is an ideal cuisine for you, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I grew up when I started working at Fatty Guy's restaurant so many years ago, and I just always loved Italian cooking, and it gives me a chance to do that. Back then, that was a steakhouse also, a chop house. So it's kind of almost where you're going back to your roots, you know, and so it fit, but you're taking it to another, you were taking it to another level, you know, I mean, and so I just love the concept.
Well, the thing about this place is it's very urbane, but it's also, it's very, very comfortable. It's the kind of place that you could hang out a lot at, I think.
Yeah, I think so. You know, with Cork Factory being open, and what I've noticed since, you know, working down here is that you're really getting that neighborhood feel back to this.
Right. Now, that's all rental, is it?
Yes, they have over 300 units, and it's about 90% occupied.
And it's an historic building.
Yep,
it's gorgeous.
Cork Factory, yeah, and what the job they did redoing that, I mean, it's a beautiful brick building. The architecture is great.
Yeah.
But it's really giving that neighborhood feel back to the Strip District. I mean, a long time ago back, you know, way back when, the Strip, you know, a lot of people grew up in the, you know, in this area. You know, so it's, I think, bringing a lot of that back. So we want to have that neighborhood feel to it.
Now, you have a full menu, which is the starters. I love this. I'm going to try that crudo. Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, the crudo a fluke. I mean, that's basically crudo. That's like Italian sashimi. It's raw fish in Italian. And that crudo a fluke is just real simple. Style of cuisine now, it's very simple. It's based on quality ingredients and technique, where you got great fish, great lemon juice, a really good olive oil, good sea salt, and, you know, you keep everything fresh, straightforward, and you let all the freshness and the quality and the ingredients come through in the dish. But, I mean, the crudo a fluke's like one of my biggest selling starters right now.
I'd that right away, although when you're... You have a separate menu called Chef's Features.
Yeah, it's my specials of the day. Yeah.
Now you make your own duck prosciutto.
My sous chef Robert made the duck prosciutto. Just salted duck breast and dry cured it. It's real nice. Cauliflower salad we're running with. Very nice dish.
And what is your, aside from your signature cioppino, what is your favorite main course?
Wow, my favorite? Oh, I don't know.
What's Ricolina?
Ricolina, I'm using Steve Salvi's Fetti Pasta. It's a great local fresh pasta. Ricolina, it's almost like in the shape of like a curved penne.
Uh-huh.
It's just real simple right now. Come down in the summer, it's tossed with roasted peppers, tomatoes, broccoli rabe or rapini, a little bit of Reggiano Parmesan.
Tuna, you use it with grilled eggplant, arugula, roasted pepper, olive oil. We just came back from Italy, so this is like old home week for us.
Yeah, sure. You know, you want to have that. You work those Tuscan influences in there where you can, you know. But I just love cooking fish, so.
Yeah, and then you have, if anybody doesn't like that, you've got Porterhouse, New York Strip, bone-in ribeye, a super pork chop, I understand.
Yeah, the pork chop's awesome. I mean, it's a 14-ounce center-cut pork chop, and everybody I talk to that's had it just loves it.
And of course, your lamb. Well, Greg, I mean, I'm really anxious to sit down and taste it. I think that the whole atmosphere of the place it makes you feel like you're someplace special but at home. And
sure.
I love it. So
well, thank you.
I wish you all the... the success in the world.
Well, thank you very
much. Anything else you'd like to mention about the place?
Real happy to be here, and you know, and just everybody come down and check it out. I think you'll be happy with what you see and what you have.
Yeah, and listeners, you'll get a whole new experience of Pittsburgh if you come into the Strip to this really wonderful, really booming restaurant. Thanks, Greg.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for coming in.
And now we'll take another break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. Of course, you're listening to On the Menu Radio with Ann and Peter Hagen. We're delighted that you're with us. And Miss Ann, what's next?
Well, if we've all been eating and not paying much attention to the very important flora and fauna in our gut, we're going to introduce you to a product that should get everything all straightened out.
And we're going to find out more about flora and fauna than perhaps you ever wanted to know.
But it's a great, good taste, really wonderful. I've been drinking it every day. It's called Good Belly.
It's good stuff. Anne's got a good belly as a result, I think she thinks. Anyway, I guess we'll find
Happy
out.
Happy tum-tum.
Anyway, here's the originator, inventor, whatever you like to call it, and chief spokesman for this great product.
Who knew I had become a major juice aficionado or maven or whatever we want to call it, but the latest discovery... To explain what it is, I'm going to introduce you to Steve Demas, who is CEO of a company called, he's also founder of a company called Next Foods, which should give you an idea. We're talking about fairly sophisticated products here, and the one that we're talking about in particular is called Good Belly Probiotic Super Juice. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you, Ann. It's a pleasure to be here.
You have a history of being involved with Next Foods of sorts, right?
I am the co-founder of Next Foods. Prior to that, I had a long career, several decades, in founding White Wave, the makers of Silk Soy Milk.
Uh-huh.
But you got started on it in a rather unusual way, by a trip to the Orient. Tell us a little bit about that.
My past and my path seems to constantly take me back to spending time in India. And one of the insights that I had on this most recent trip when I was in India about a year and a half ago was the aging that the vast majority of our population seems to be going through, and the needs and the changing needs that our bodies are talking to us about. And while I was traveling, it became very apparent that digestive regularity, or the ability to regulate how you absorb food and how you process food, was going to become more and more important. It certainly was becoming important for me because I was having difficulties with my digestion. Thus, I was led towards this very old concept of probiotics and active bacterium that are found in the stomach to help you not only digest products, but absorb nutrition as well.
So there's good sound science behind this, and it's science that's not new.
No, in this case, the bacterium that we're using, Lactobacillus plantarum, was extracted from the human mucosa. It's a naturally occurring bacterium, and it was perfected at the Lund Hospital in Sweden in the mid-1990s. The product has... this bacterium is probably one of the most studied bacterium in the world that's, you know, meant for human consumption. And it's been proven to affect the digestive system in over 15 clinical human trials over the past 10 years.
So some of this was going on in London, Sweden, but you came across this in India. Now, can you help make that bridge for us?
Well, actually, I didn't come across this bacterium when I was in India. I came across the concept of fermented foods, which in many cultures, whether it's Asia or Europe, the benefit of fermented foods has been known by most cultures for quite a while. My experience in India at that time was due to the lack of finding effective probiotics with which I needed to sort of treat my digestive tract.
Oh, I see. So it just happened that this took place when you were in the Indian subcontinent, but you'd also been there before.
Yes, when I was a young man, I had left college studies. I had completed my college studies in 1970, and I and my future CFO hitchhiked from Istanbul to New Delhi on the tops of trucks, and then we stayed there for 4 years.
Back in the day, Steve, right?
And you were just around the corner from where George, John Paul, and Ringo spent some time, too, I believe.
I suppose I was probably trying to follow those footsteps somehow. We all ended up in Rishikesh, which is effectively called the spawning grounds of the gurus in northern India on the Ganges River, right up near the headwaters for the Ganges.
Now, you've taken this probiotic thing, culture, call it what you like, and you've coupled it to something that people would like to drink every day.
Yeah.
Am I explaining it correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. We basically have offered the consumer a very new choice that they haven't had before. Up until this point, gut health was almost exclusively associated with yogurt, kefir, some forms of cheeses, and things like this, which obviously are all dairy or animal products.
Now, is this the thing that Jamie Lee Lewis talks about with, is it Achiever, the yogurt? Is it
that's
same?
Correct.
That's the same thing. Okay.
Activia, which is
Activia,
the product. All of these products, including the a brand from Japan called Yakult, all of these products are based on bacterium that are grown on dairy-based and delivered as such. They're delivered as a yogurt drink or a smoothie drink or something like that, flavored and sweetened. The difference between Good Belly, which is the product that we're talking about here, and the dairy products is that Good Belly has no dairy or soy component to it, so there's no allergens in it, and it is delivered in an organic fruit juice base. So we're offering the consumer a choice as to do you want to consume probiotics and gut health in a dairy format or in a fruit juice format.
And what took you to fruit juice?
Well, my entire business career has been spent in obsoleting dairy and animal products. I'm not a strict vegan, but I have been a vegetarian since 1970, and my entire working career has been offering people food lower on the food chain. Not because I have moral issues with it, but because it's a more efficient use of planetary resources. And when I lived in India, I witnessed what protein deprivation does to the human mind. It actually is creates a form of mental retardation. So when I decided to go into business, I decided that I would only sell products in the food realm that were natural, organic, and lower on the food chain than animal products.
But these fruit juices also just happen to be absolutely delicious.
Well, thank you. They are delicious. And the first...
they're real pure flavors, too.
Sorry?
They're really pure flavors. They're amazingly vibrant.
They are, and that was by intent. We are natural and organic food pioneers. I spent the first 30 years of my business career helping to build the organic food industry, and my last product, Silk Soy Milk, was the largest selling organic food in the world when I was in the seat. We certainly are not going to compromise that with Good Belly. In fact, we actually enhanced it. You'll find no gums, no stabilizers, no preservatives, no artificial ingredients, and no flavors with other natural flavors. We're actually after the pure fruit juice flavor of whether it's blueberry juice or acai juice or strawberry or rose hips or any of the other natural ingredients we're putting into these products.
Yeah, it's not just one fruit. You have a whole bunch of them, right?
Yes, we do. If you'll notice, all of them, although we don't tout this heavily on the outside of the package because we have so many marketing messages, but these are high antioxidant fruits. They were chosen not only for their flavor profile, but also they're extremely compatible with the concept of health and wellness and this probiotic fruit juice. So in the case of blueberry, it's blueberry and acai, which are very high antioxidants.
Now, the thing that's very interesting is the packaging. You sent us lots of different flavors, and there were large packages that commonly would be associated with fruit juice made out of the plastic-coated cardboard for quantity, but then they come in individual little serving packages, six to a pack?
Yes, that's correct.
And is that intended that one of those would be a single serving? Is that the way it works?
Yes, the little shot, which is 2.7 ounces, is actually a full multivitamin, as well as what's considered to be a clinically significant dose of the probiotic. There are 20 billion live and active cultures in that 2.7 ounce shot, and it will come either in the blueberry flavor, a strawberry juice, or a mango juice flavor. Each one of them is considered a daily consumption amount.
And how many calories in one of those?
There are 50 calories. Actually, it's a little less. It's in the mid-40s, but we round up because of labeling laws. So each one has a caloric content of approximate calories, and in that you get your multivitamin as well as your daily dosage of live and active.
You have enough in one of those. That's not a very large container. I mean, that one of those would be enough to get the desired benefit?
Yes, very much so. In fact, there's a lot of pick-me-up associated with this product because the absorption of the vitamins and minerals are so quick going through the digestive tract that many people are talking about, well, they'll take one in the morning and then they'll have another shot, one of these small units, late in the afternoon. As far as the probiotic is concerned, your body has already absorbed what it's going to need for the day. As far as the vitamin absorption, you're just going to get more of your multivitamin that way.
Plus, you're going to have the benefit of a beautiful taste as well.
That's correct. Now, you know, not everybody wants to consume a multivitamin with their probiotic, or not all the time. And in fact, often mom will say, you know, I really like this for my for little Sally or Jimmy, but I really don't want them drinking shot after shot of this product. And the intent on launching, Peter, what you described earlier was the Quart juice line was intended to permit a product to actually get to the breakfast or lunch table where people could drink a full glass, a refreshing drink as a fruit juice, an upgraded, if you will, fruit juice that has some of the antioxidant fruits in it and some of the vitamin content, albeit quite a bit less than in the little shot. But the probiotic is still a clinically significant 10 billion live and active cultures per 8-ounce serving.
Now, before we came on the air, you said that this product was developed in Sweden and it's been used very successfully with athletes there?
Yes. It actually was developed by the gastroenterologist at the Lund Hospital in southern Sweden, who were looking for a product to help their post-operative patients recover. So what they did was they extracted all of the existent bacteria in a healthy body, in a healthy stomach, and then they began studying the effects each one had on the digestive process. It just so happens this one, Lactobacillus plantarum, was the most effective. It is a naturally occurring bacterium that's found in a baby's stomach, let alone in adults. They being the Swedish medical community, got a medical acclaim for the product through the health services over there, and they've been serving this product in hospitals as well as off of the supermarket shelves, as well as feeding training athletes for the past 15 years. The proof of all of this is obviously the health claim, but in the case of the sports nutrition, these athletes are finely tuned machines, and they're consuming this because they've seen an increase in the actual absorption of the nutrients they're putting into their bodies as measured through the outflow of waste material, and they've determined that this is a more efficient way of actually creating good natural energy for themselves.
Well, I wish you had told me all this beforehand. I approached the whole thing in the wrong way. I'd like to start the test all over again.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, we're always happy to have you keep going, and it's one shot a day or effectively a glass to two glasses of juice a day.
I've been doing the juice and not the shots. I did it all backwards.
and the juice is the main selling product in Sweden. you can look at it this way. If you're just beginning in this process, or you feel you've been on antibiotics, or you feel that you've not been treating yourself well, the shot is a real strong corrective. It's a pick-me-up.
Where do you get this?
You can find it in your area. You'll find it at all the Giant Eagle stores, as well as the Whole Foods supermarkets in your area.
So you're marketing through the... You don't market on the web... Internet.
No, this is a refrigerated product. It requires temperature control for it to stay good. This is fresh juice with no preservatives.
Right.
Now, do you have a store finder on a website so that
yes,
people can because there are listeners to On the Menu around the world now. So throughout the United States, undoubtedly. But what about Australia, all the European countries? Are you there yet?
No, we're not. In Europe, you can find it in Sweden under the name of Proviva, but you will not find it anywhere else in the world other than in Sweden and in the United States.
Well, but it will be, I can assure you, because it's a good product.
Thank you, and we're going to do our best to live up to that.
Well, Steve, is there anything else that we should know about this?
Nothing other than I want you to take one shot a day, Ann, for the next week, and then let me know.
There you go. Well, I got news for you, listeners, and pretty soon I'll be running so fast I won't be able to catch up.
There you go. Well, there's true energy creation is when you're absorbing nutrition and not giving it something that's artificial as a stimulant. We think we're on the right path to health and wellness.
Yeah, but the last thing we must mention is that it's not like cod liver oil. It's not good for you and it tastes terrible. It's good for you and it tastes wonderful.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate that endorsement.
Well, Steve, good luck to you in the development of additional products, too, because this first one's a real winner.
Thank you, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to speak with me about this.
Well, good belly's a hell of a name for a product, and it's I now understand just how descriptive it is. And listeners, you got to get in line for this. This is maybe the Redeem team was drinking it, and that's why they were so successful.
I'd love to take claim for that. I'll do my best for the next Olympics. I assure you.
Steve. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. And keep up the great work.
Thank you very much, and the same to you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And we'll now go to another break.
And of course, we hope you'll join us on the other side.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Well, here we are again, and now that we've got your tum-tum happy, we're going to turn to how to avoid all those awful toxic things that are in cleaning supplies. For the first time in my life, I met and we interviewed a green cleaning coach. Leslie Reichert. I have never in my life heard of a cleaning coach, let alone a green cleaning coach, but isn't it a wonderful idea? Tell us what you do.
My mission is to teach and encourage people on the art of green cleaning.
It's not just as simple as that. You might have to explain green cleaning just a little bit more.
I do that a lot for people because a lot of people have heard about it and actually even want to do it, but they don't know where to start. So I try and help them start small, give them some quick little tips that they can try in their own homes with things they have in their own pantry.
But what's the concept of green? I mean, green is everything. Green buildings, green food. I mean, how did you get this idea?
Well, actually, my background is in cleaning. I had my own cleaning business for years, and we used the stuff that was not green when we did our cleaning service. And I learned through what trial and error on my own body, what those kind of products can do to you. So what I've done now is trying to tell people, don't learn the hard way like I did. Try something different.
You want to just give us a couple of examples that will get people's attention?
Well, sure. When we used to clean a shower, it was all about speed. So the faster we cleaned, the more money we made. And what we would do is we would use fiberglass cleaner that people would use on boats shower. Hey, nothing takes off soap scum better than that.
Yeah, boy, you breathed all those fumes in.
Exactly. And it brings out asthma, all sorts of allergies and things like that down the road.
Not that explained. I had a cleaner who had to give up the work because she developed severe asthma.
That's why.
Even though she had went around the house with a mask on.
Yep. All those fumes are in your house. And the other thing that's changed, my father always asked me, you know, what's the big deal now about green? Same chemicals that we used when I grew up, and we're fine. But a lot of things have changed in our homes. Our homes are a lot tighter. We have more, there's not as much airflow. So when you spray something with a fume, you can live with that for 3 months.
Okay, so the focus is on green products, and can you give us some examples of what those are?
Sure. If you go to your pantry, there's the white vinegar, and that's a great disinfectant.
Yes, which our grandmothers all swore by that.
And I'm not a big fan of the vinegar smell, so what I do is I just put a couple drops of essential oil in there, and I make my own cleaner with that.
Uh-huh. Now, you are... You actually have a cookbook for the cleaning products coming out. When will that be out?
We're hoping that it's at the printers right now, so we should see it by October.
And where can people find that book?
We're going to have it online. I actually have a website.
Could you give us your website?
Sure. It's www.thecleaningcoach.us, because we're in this together.
I'm not sure the people who came up with the high-level domain US actually realized people would use it that way, but that's very clever.
And on there you can sign up. I do a green cleaning tip every other week. We send out just an idea or something you can try in your own home. And again, I try and start people off very small, instead of going under your counter and trying to clean out everything. It's just one tip at a time. And the next thing you know, you'll start thinking about different ways you can green your cleaning.
Now, I'm sorry. It's been
I was going to say that you have a specialty of working with celebrity chefs, notably Ming Tsai and Paula Deen.
Right. I have worked with both of them.
And what do you do with them?
Well, what I do is I come in after they're done, and basically I'm cleaning up after them.
Yeah.
And we went to the International Houseware Show in Chicago, and they were trying to learn on the KitchenAid counters and everything. They were years ago using regular old Windex and paper towel. And as I watched that, I just said, there's a better way to do this, and it's a healthier way. So what I did was come in and show them different ways to clean up after the chefs have been done preparing their demonstrations.
Now, do you actually do this in commercial kitchens and restaurants too? Or?
I do it in demonstration kitchens.
Okay.
I worked in the Miele showroom in Wellesley, right down the road actually from Ming's restaurant, Blue Ginger, other different demo sites.
So your focus is really on the home kitchen?
Yes.
And just the kitchen or the whole house?
I actually can help with the whole house. We can teach you how to green your cleaning for everything.
Well, now you do trade shows, but you do, like, what is the flavor for Taste of Pittsburgh
Good
show
Taste
that you're going to do?
It's called Good Taste.
Good Taste Pittsburgh, yeah. I remember going to one of those.
October 18th. And there, the Hardy Boys are going to be there. And I actually worked with them also in Chicago, too.
Yeah, we interviewed them, didn't we?
We have had the Hardy Boys on. Yes,
yeah.
We have. Yeah, we have.
So we have connections. We're linked in.
Uh-huh.
And at that show, in particular, I'm going to do 2 30-minute workshops. And what we're going to do is, instead of watching somebody cook, they're going to watch me put together some cleaning products from the pantry.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
We're going to demonstrate some of my recipes for them.
In fact, I think Paula Deen was the chef they had last year, right?
In Chicago, yes, that's where we met. Yep.
Yeah, I mean in Pittsburgh.
I'm not sure if she was there last year or not. I met her in Chicago. She was the celebrity headliner in the Chicago show.
I thought it was Pittsburgh too, but anyhow. Well, this is all very interesting. Another small step we can take on to make our lives better.
That's right. And it's really about, I tell people there's 3 reasons to green your cleaning. There's 1, you want to do it for yourself. Because whatever you're using is actually going back into your body, and your skin's the biggest organ you have.
And so you really had physical damage from using these products.
Mm-hmm. I did, yeah, personal experience. So I don't want anybody else to have it happen to them.
But when you stop using these bad products, then does it right itself?
Sometimes, you know, your asthma or your reactions to certain chemicals will stop because you're not exposing yourself to them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of petroleum-based stuff out there, and your skin, you'll start having different kind of reactions to it. So if you're using something natural like baking soda and vinegar, not much is going to happen.
Right. I mean, I ordered up a rust cleaner from someplace.
Eh?
Yeah, I know.
Did you see my face?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could tell, but anyway, it came, and I needed it for a bathtub.
Mm-hmm. And the thing was good on everything but the bathtub.
Oh!
Yeah, sad part about it, it wasn't even any good. It was the most vicious stuff, and it wasn't even any good.
Well, no, that I replaced that with the stuff for the bathtubs, and that didn't work either. So there was a formula for removing rust stains from them.
I have a couple, but you know what? We just have found that a pumice stone worked incredibly well.
Pumice stone, huh?
Yeah, the same thing you would use on your feet.
Yeah, right.
You can use that right in it. Well, I have one that has a handle on it, but you can use it in your toilet to get rid of the rust ring. I had a testimony yesterday where the lady came in. She goes, I've been cleaning this house for 5 years and couldn't get rid of that ring.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Now, what are some of the real baddies? What are some of the things that you mentioned earlier on, maybe
the
it was on air
rust.
Or off air, using fiberglass cleaner to clean the insides of showers? Is Windex a bad thing?
Well, the original formula for Windex actually had to be put in a glass bottle because it would eat through the plastic.
It gives you a clue.
If you remember that, I don't know if you can remember that or not, but
no,
Windex used to come in a glass bottle when it first came out. They've changed the formula, so it's not quite that bad. But you have to just remember it does have different ammonias in it and things like that that you're spraying. And all those things are harmful to your lungs.
So listeners, if you watch the big fat Greek, my big fat Greek wedding, the father of the bride used Windex for pimples.
You know what it's doing to your skin.
This is not a good idea.
No. And I tell people to kind of look for certain endings of words, you know, like I-N-E, benzene, you know, there's certain different chemicals. Although the chemical companies don't have to list what's in their stuff. It's one of the few places where there's no ingredients that need to be listed.
I guess nobody, until you came along, nobody thought about it.
Maybe not, yeah. I'm just trying to make awareness so that really you are your own best protector. You know, we have the FDA watching out for the food products. And we have the EPA watching out for the earth, but you have to be your own government agency, if you will.
Well, we're gonna do an exceptional thing, and when your book comes out, and you'll be sure to let us know and make sure we get a copy. I won't just put it up on OTM Bookshelf. I'll post a news announcement on the homepage as well, so that people can know, because it sounds like something really important, and it's something that we wouldn't have thought about, and if Leslie hadn't thought about it, we wouldn't know about it yet.
Well, thank you very much. That'd be wonderful.
Okay, Leslie, and find out where all that who's corresponding with you on my email.
But we're delighted that to have the opportunity to talk to you on the program, and it sounds like for people who have allergies in particular, but for all of us in general, it's just a smart thing to do, and we all want to do the smart thing.
Wonderful. And I tell you what, if anybody has any questions, I have an 800 number. We have a green cleaning hotline, so anybody can call me with any questions if they like.
You want to give it to us?
Sure. It's 866, and it's 50-CLEAN, so it's 866-502-5326.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably going to get a lot of calls from me.
and
you'll come through as a priority, don't worry.
And listeners, you know, as you have come to rely on the menu is not first to invent things, but first to bring them to your attention, and we hope that you found this an interesting part of the program.
Yes. Leslie, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, keep in touch.
I will. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Well, that's it for another week, listeners, another exciting On the Menu radio program, and there's even more excitement coming in the future because Miss Anne and Mr. Peter are off to Spain. And
let me have them guess. If I say Buenos Dias, where are we going?
Oh, okay. Well, then, she's doing so good with this.
Nada más.
Nada más. And Spain is one of the hot new sources of chefs and restaurateurs, in addition to El Bulli, for top flight chefs we're going to be interviewing on our trip, and we'll be bringing them to you in the very next program, so be sure to tune into that one, and we're just excited about the adventure that's ahead of us. We hope to see you again, same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.